Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been good already, hasn't it? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Men's fellowship tomorrow. Let's see, Tony was ushering, but I guess he's not going to say anything about that. But that is tomorrow, 5:30. Always look forward to that. It's always a good time. People share, just good fellowship, good community. And people are always talking about the Lord and the good things that God has done. Can you say amen? Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Kind of like Gloria Copeland this morning. I have enough notes for about 6 weeks. But we won't be here that long. Don't have to do it all in one day, do we? Thank you, Lord. But we do want to be led by the Spirit. How many of you are with me this morning? Hooked up with me. Doing your part. Believing. Expecting. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the truth. We thank you that as we align our lives and our mouths and our hearts and believe and act on your word, that it always produces the right results in our lives and makes us a blessing to others. So we thank you for that. And we believe for the leadership and the help of the Holy Spirit as we minister your word this morning. We take that by faith. And we thank you that every heart is an open, receptive heart that hears and understands, and most importantly, is a doer of the word they hear. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let's look at Mark chapter 11. Mark 11:22. I was thinking about all the songs we sang this morning. They were so powerful. Talking about how faithful our God is to deliver us, to protect us, to keep us, to cause us to overcome. We're delivered. We're free in every area and every realm of life. Praise God. And I'm thinking, are we really paying attention to what we sing here? And we have a whole lot of people that really agree with the Word of God and agree with those songs and the spirit of those songs that talk about the triumph and victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. But sometimes people are not experiencing what they truly, really believe in their heart because their mouth does not line up with what their heart believes. And faith is not just believing in your heart. It's believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. And sometimes people will say things like, I'm healed. Glory to God. But then when you talk to them, they say, I need you to pray for me for strength. Well, why do you need strength? Well, because I don't have any. Well, if you're healed, you have strength. But I don't have it. Yeah, but faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Or people say, I believe with all my heart God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Pastor, pray for me. We got to have $200. I need $200. No, you don't need anything if you believe that God supplies all your needs.
That's right.
You believe you have an overflow, abundant measure of finances when you need them. And when the deadline passes, if you understand what faith is all about, because we walk by faith and not by sight, and we call those things that be not as though they were, we believe. Even though the deadline has passed, we say, glory to God, I have an overcoming, abundant supply, of more than enough supply of everything I need in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen?
Amen?
See, your mouth should never disagree with your heart. And if your mouth disagrees with your heart, then the Bible says you're double-minded, you're wavering, you're doubting, and the Bible says, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. And you see, calling those things that be not as though they were is the make it or break it point when it comes to faith. Will you say that you have what God says you have when it doesn't look like it's true, when it doesn't seem like it's true, when it doesn't feel like it's true? Somebody says, I've heard that 1,000 times. Well, how about this? I believe I'm free, but I need to overcome this sin. I'm addicted to this. Well, what are you saying? You're saying you believe you're not free. Your mouth is disagreeing with what you say in your heart, and that's why it doesn't work. Are you out there? Or are you going home? Praise God. Mark 11:22. The Lord Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for verily, never argue with the verilies. For verily I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, this scripture tells us three things. Glory to God. Listen carefully. It tells us that faith believes, faith says, and faith doesn't doubt. Faith believes something, it says something, and it doesn't doubt what it says in faith. And so sometimes people don't realize it, but they are unwittingly and ignorantly saying things that disagrees with what they really do believe in their heart. Amen. I mean, just think about this as we go along here and just try to follow the Holy Spirit here. Ephesians 1:3 says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Is that true? Is that true? Did Jesus do, has God blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places? One translation says, Christ has blessed us with every blessing that heaven has to offer. So if you start saying that you don't have something, then you're denying that scripture. Amen. Glory to God. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed, that is, he has purchased our deliverance from, he has delivered us from, he has set us free from, that's what redeemed means, he's paid the price that we might go free from, all the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was sin and sickness and disease and being unsafe and not being protected and being defeated by your enemy and mental oppression of all kinds and financial woes and lack and misery. Christ has. He paid the price that we might go free from all of those things. The Passion Translation says the full price to set us free from sin from the curse of the law Christ has redeemed us from. Glory to God. Well, did he do it?
Yes.
Did he do it?
Yes.
Amen. So you have to watch. You have to be careful about saying, I have a problem with. I have a problem with my feet. I thought you believed by stripes you're healed. By God, I believe that. I believed it before you ever heard of it. Well, then why are you saying you have a problem with your feet? Well, because I have a problem with. But faith calls those things that be not as though they were. And faith believes what the Word of God says about it, regardless of what the circumstances or the symptoms say. I need, you don't need anything that Jesus redeemed you from, not a single thing. Oh, we need to grow up in Christ. We need to learn how to flow with the Spirit of God and move with the Spirit of God. We need to walk in wisdom. We need to allow the love of God in us to grow in love and allow that love to. But when it comes to anything and everything that Jesus bought and paid for us at Calvary, we don't need a thing.
Amen.
And so if we are saying words that say that we need something, then we're saying words that are not in line with the Scripture. They don't agree with the Scriptures. They're not faith-filled words. Keith, I'm going to teach this sooner or later, but right now I'm just preaching. Is that all right? Preach doesn't mean you talk loud or fast. It just means you proclaim things people already know. You know, I was listening to Keith Moore last week, and he tells a story that I want to tell you because I heard him tell it 30 years ago. It illustrates what I'm talking about so powerfully. But he told another story about a young man that came up to him when he was teaching in healing school. After Brother Hagin did healing school for the first year, Keith Moore became he did healing school every day at Rhema for like 10 years. He said a young man came up to him and said, Brother Keith, I got saved. I'm born again, but I'm addicted to tobacco. I'm addicted to tobacco. I just can't quit smoking. And so Brother Keith said, listen. Here's what I want you to say. I want you to say, I'm free from tobacco. Quit saying, don't ever say again the rest of your life, never ever say again, I'm addicted to tobacco. He goes, yeah, but I am. He goes, He goes, I want you to say, Jesus already set you free, so you are not addicted to anything, and I want you to let your tongue agree with what the Word of God says and agree with what you say you believe, and I want you to start saying, I am free from tobacco. And he says, yeah, but I'm still smoking. He says, I don't care. Every time you go to the store, see, this is where you lose some people, but you got to get this. If you go to the store and you buy a pack of cigarettes, you know, you may not have to say it out loud in front of everybody there, but when you get back to your car, put them in your pocket and say, I'm free from cigarettes. I'm not addicted to cigarettes. I'm not addicted to cigarettes. He goes, yeah, but I'm still. He said, in between puffs. Say, I'm free from cigarettes. I'm not addicted to cigarettes. I don't have any desire for cigarettes. He said, in between puffs. Yeah, just do what I'm telling you to do. He goes, well, Brother Keith, I've been prayed for, you know, he's in essence saying by the best. And, you know, he said, just do what I'm telling you to do. Call those things that be not. See, it's not as though you're free from cigarettes, but faith calls those things that be not as though they were. God told Abraham, I have made you, not I'm going to make you, but I have made you the father of many nations. When God told that to Abraham the second time, Abraham was 99 years old. And in Romans it says when he was about 100 years old. Well, 99 is about 100, isn't it? When he was 99 years old, God said, I have made you a father of many nations. And he makes it clear you're going to be a father of many nations, not through Hagar, not through some other woman, but through Sarah. God told that to Abraham when he was 99 years old. Sarah, who had always been barren, meaning that she was incapable scientifically, medically, of ever having a baby. She was barren and she was 70 years old. Yet God said, you're the father of many nations. And Abraham believed that and called himself Abraham, which in essence means the father of many. He called those things which be not as though they were. And you see, in retrospect, we know that from the second God said that to him, whether he had a... See, it was impossible for them to have a baby. How can you become the father of many nations when you don't even have one child through Sarah? But he was the father of many nations, wasn't he? God knows about a billion things more than we know. Times a billion. Times a billion, times a billion, times a billion. Glory to God. And so this young man said, he said about 3 weeks later, he said, I saw him. He came in the back. He was beaming. He said, I knew. He said, I was waiting for the service to come up and for the end. And he said, he come walking up to me. And he said, Brother Keith. He said, I know, but tell me anyway. And he said, I did what you told me. He said, I felt so weird and so stupid doing that. I mean, I'm still smoking and I'm saying I don't have a desire to smoke. I'm not addicted to nicotine. I don't want to smoke. But yet he said, I went out there and he said, I brought a pack of cigarettes and I walked outside and I lit it up. And in between puffs, I said, I'm not addicted to, and he goes, oh. And he said, I don't have the slightest desire for tobacco or cigarettes anymore whatsoever. Amen. See, we're talking about real faith that really works. That's the title of this message, Faith That Really Works. Faith that really works believes in its heart and it says with its mouth, and it doesn't say things that denies what it says with its mouth. Colossians 1:13 says, Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness. The devil has no power, no control over us to dominate us in any area of life. So why would you say things like, I just need to go somewhere, I just need to get delivered. Well, did he deliver us or did he not deliver us? You don't need deliverance. See, we just need to receive when it comes to what he bought and paid for us on the cross. We just need to receive that by faith and act like it's so and talk like it's so, even if it doesn't seem like it's so. Praise God. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested that he might destroy, that word means undo, one translation says it that way, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy and undo the works of the devil. The works of the devil have been defeated in our lives. Glory to God. They've been undone. They've been destroyed. And when it comes to what Jesus did for us at the cross, we don't need anything. He already set us free. He already delivered us. He already became poor so that we might be rich. That is, that we might have a more than enough abundant supply in finances. So, you know, there's these outstanding bills coming up, and I'm going, I don't know how, and so I'm going to watch my mouth, and I'm going to say, when the time comes, I have all that I need. That's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to go out and try to get 50 people to agree with me that the word's true. The word's already true, whether they agree with you or not. Can you say amen? Amen? Praise God. Faith believes, faith says, and faith doesn't doubt. Glory to God. Say it out loud. Say, I am. Healed. I am. Free. I am. Delivered. From any kind of oppression. My every need is met. I am delivered from every sin. And when you're screaming, when your flesh is screaming at you, amen, and telling you that you have to sin, and when your symptoms in your body are screaming at you, and when your mind's telling you your needs are not met, I believe and say, I am. I have it. I have it. I have it now. I'm not trying to, if I'm trying to get it, it's not mine. Jesus already got it for me, praise God. I am free. I am delivered. I am healed. That's my confession of faith. That's me calling those things that be not as though they were. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you do that, then Isaac is born. Praise God. And so here's the story I wanted to tell you. There was a, because I heard Brother Keith tell this many, many years ago, like 30 years ago. He was overseas, and there was a lady missionary there. Now, from everything I understand, this lady missionary was a you know, spirit-filled lady, understood faith in God's word, believed in divine healing and so forth. But she is dying of cancer. She has stomach cancer. She's deathly sick. She's at death's door. Doctors think she should have already died. Okay. And so Brother Keith, you know, they wanted her to go see her, so he did. And so she said to him, listen carefully with both ears. She said to him, now this is a lady, I'm sure if she would have said, by stripes I'm healed. So she believes that, see? She really does believe that in her heart. But she said to Keith as he's talking to her, and she could just barely talk, see, just barely above a whisper. She said, Keith, I'm just so weak. I'm just so weak. I'm just so weak. I'm just so weak. I'm so weak. I'm so weak. I'm so weak. Well, if you're healed, are you weak? Yeah, but she. Oh, wait a minute. If you healed, are you weak? If God says you're healed, are you healed? Yes. That means you believe something is true without any physical proof because God said it so. And if you believe that you're healed, should you say that you're weak? I'm just so weak. I'm just so weak. I can't eat anything. I can't, you know, she's skin and bones because she can't eat. She says, I can't eat a thing. I can't eat a thing. Not only can I not eat, she says, I don't have any strength. And she says, and everything I eat, I can't keep it down. It comes right back up. I can't keep it down. I can't keep it down. Glory to God. Huh. Well, the scripture says, let the weak say I'm strong. You know, I think God put that in the Bible just to fill up pages. I think he put it in there because it sounds a little poetic, a little inspirational. No, God put that in there because it is a powerful, powerful truth. And a powerful truth is not just a thought, a nice thought, but a powerful word that will cause you to overcome weakness when you feel weakness in any area of your life, particularly your body. And so the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. Yeah, but the lady's got stomach cancer and she's near death. No, she's healed by the stripes of Jesus, if you believe. And so Brother Keith bent down to her and he says, I want you to do something for me. He says, I want you to say, I'm strong, I'm strong, I'm strong. Don't ever again. He's told her, he said, don't ever again. Stop saying I'm weak. Don't ever say that again. I know you feel terrible. Faith doesn't deny the reality of pain. Faith doesn't deny the reality of the circumstances. Faith doesn't deny the reality of the lack that you're facing. It just denies it the reality to rule and reign over your life. And so he says, I know that you feel terrible. I know that you don't feel good. I know that things are horrible. But I want you to say, I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm not weak. I'm strong. And so he said, she said it. Just barely couldn't whisper. She said, I. And the long pause, you know, I. Am strong. He said, say it again. She's lying down flat in the bed, dying of cancer. I am strong. They went this way for like 30 to 45 minutes. At the end of the 45 minutes, she's sitting up in bed and she's talking out loud. And she said, I am strong. I am strong. I am strong. Encouraged by her ministry to him, then Brother Keith said, now listen. Listen to me. Never again say, I can't eat. Don't say, I can't eat. Don't say, I don't have an appetite. He said, I want you to, he said, don't ever say that again. See, I want you to say, I have a voracious appetite. I not only do I have a strong desire to eat, when I eat, I keep it down. Now pay attention very carefully. This could save your life. And then he said to her, he said, listen, when you say that, if you eat something and you throw it up, after you throw up, wipe your mouth off and say, praise God, I can eat anything and I keep it down. I can eat anything and I keep it down. I can eat anything and I can eat anything and I keep it down. That's calling those things that be not as though they were. And that's what faith does. It calls those things that be not as though they were. Praise God. I believe and say I'm healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, a few months went back and he got the report back. He saw a man that had been over there and he came back and said, oh, she's doing just fine. She's gained 15, 20 pounds. She's well. She's totally healed and doing great. Amen. Now, after you get through gaining the weight, you might ought to quit saying, I have a voracious appetite. You know, you might want to. Glory to God. So Jesus said in Mark 11:22, Jesus, the Son of the living God, said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, or God, faith like God has it. And he says, this is how faith works. He says, verily I say to you, if you say to a mountain, your problem, your situation, be removed and be cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believes those things which you say will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Again, that's not just a poetic, cute, inspirational, flowery sounding statement. This is spiritual law that works when we believe it and act upon it. We believe in our hearts, we speak with our mouths, we speak what we believe, and we don't doubt. See, sometimes people honor the truth, they agree with the truth, but at times they also doubt. We've all been there because of our circumstances, because of what we can feel or say. We know what the Word of God says, but we have these symptoms, we have this situation, we have this problem, we have this lack of funds, whatever it is, you know, our flesh is tugging on us. And so we believe in our heart, but we also doubt at times. Well, that is being called double-minded. That's called wavering. That's called staggering at the promises, praise God. And doubting and wavering won't get the job done. Faith is believing and speaking without any doubt. See, that's what Jesus said. He said, believe something, say something, and don't doubt. And so if you doubt, it won't work, praise God. And then James 1:6 says, when we ask God for something, James 1:6, when we ask God for something, he's talking about wisdom, but it would apply to any area of life. He says, when we ask God for something, glory to God, ask in faith with no wavering, King James Bible, with no doubting, New King James. So when you ask, don't waver. Don't say, well, I know God. Well, no, don't be back and forth. Don't waver, don't doubt. For, he says, he who doubts or wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And then in Romans 4:20, that's where God told Abraham, you're the father of many nations. That's where the Bible tells us that God calls those things which be not as though they were. And talking about Abraham, it says he did not waver, he did not stagger. I think that's the King James. He did not waver, he did not stagger, or he did not doubt at the promises of God through unbelief. See, this Greek word translated by various translations in James 1 and James 4 as waver or doubt or stagger is the same exact Greek word translated doubt in Mark 11:22. So let's plug that into Mark 11:22. Glory to God. 11:23 rather. For assuredly, verily I say unto you, be removed and be cast into the sea, and do not, and do not doubt in your heart. Do not waver in your heart. Do not stagger in your heart. But believe what you say will come to pass and you'll have it. Praise God. Amen. We must believe without any doubt that what we say based on the authority of God's word is done and is so or will be done because we commanded it to be so. So you must rid yourself of all doubt for faith to work. Amen. And you do that very simply by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I go to the Word of God. I find out what God's Word says about my particular situation. I agree with it. I believe it in my heart. Glory to God. Amen. And I don't doubt it. And if I'm you know, dealing with all kinds of symptoms and circumstances, and I say, well, I'm trying to believe, but I don't really believe yet. What do? You just keep hearing the word, and you study the word, and you meditate in the word of God. Praise God. And when you do, glory to God, you'll get a revelation of that truth. It'll drive out all doubt, all fear and unbelief, and you'll rise up and say, I believe it with all of my heart. You don't doubt anymore. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. So that takes care of the one part. Don't doubt in your heart. But Jesus also said you must believe, and by implication, he says you must believe in your heart. He said don't doubt in your heart. And then we know from other scriptures that believe in your heart is what he's talking about, because the Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding, which is your mental reasoning and mind. And then in Romans 10, 8 through 10, you know, Jesus said if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and he says that a couple of times. So we are to believe in our heart. Glory to God. Amen. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That's the principle we see again in Romans 10, 8 through 10. Let's look at that. Back it up to verse number 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, notice that, in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto or to salvation. Glory to God. So there's the principle. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Glory to God. Now that principle has to do with getting saved, but that's how you receive any of the benefits that salvation provides for you. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Praise God. But the all-important question that I want to get across to you this morning, or answer this morning, is what does it mean then to believe in the heart? What does it mean to believe in the heart? Your heart, your spirit, believes what God's Word says. It doesn't have any trouble believing what the Word of God says. It's your mind that gives you trouble. See, because your mind wants to believe what your senses reveal to it. It believes what it can see and what it can feel. Glory to God. So we have to renew our minds and get it to agree with the Word of God, so that we are to walk by faith. That is, we are to believe the Word of God in our hearts. We walk by faith, glory to God, and not by sight. If you walk by sight, you'll end up in doubt every single time. See, God's Word is more reliable than what you see or what you don't see. It's more reliable than any feeling. God's Word is more reliable than any report. It's more reliable than any circumstances. It's more reliable than symptoms. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. When God says something and he sees all kinds of things we don't see, it is the absolute truth. No matter what we feel, no matter what we see, no matter what we think, no matter what it seems like to us, what God's Word says is true. And if we say what God's Word says because we believe what God's Word says, then his Word will prevail in our lives. Amen. Glory to God. So we believe. We are fully persuaded, are fully convinced in our hearts that what God says is true. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. So to believe in the heart simply means that you believe what God's Word says independently of what your mind says, or independently of what your circumstances tell you. In other words, believing in the heart means that you accept what the Word of God says is true because God said it, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You believe it in your heart. You don't know it in your head. You believe it in your heart. See, you believe apart from, regardless of what your symptoms say or don't say, regardless of what your feelings say or don't say, regardless of negative circumstances, you believe what God's Word says. That's believing the Word of God in your heart. Amen. And that's what walking by faith is all about. We walk by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. Amen. So we believe, again, we are fully persuaded, are fully convinced in our hearts that what God's Word says is true. What God's Word says is true. But then we must say with our mouth what we believe. Faith is believing and speaking. Yeah. I said, faith is believing and speaking. If you don't speak or confess your faith, then nothing will happen. Speaking releases your faith. Speaking the words you believe, again, releases or activates your faith. Glory to God. James said, you know, we read what he said a while ago about wavering, but he also said that faith without works is dead. Listen to me. Your confession is the first work of faith. It's the first action of faith. The most important action of your faith will always be what you say with your mouth. Always, always, always. So faith must be released through words. Actually, what you say is your faith in action. One man famously said this. He said, a bell is not a bell until you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. And love is not love until you share it. What does that mean? A bell is not heard until you ring it out. In other words, it's not fulfilling its purpose. It's just lying there dormant until you actually, you know, use it, ring it. A song doesn't become music until it's sung. And love is not realized until it's shared. Likewise, faith is not released until it's spoken. You may have great faith, but it's not doing you one bit of good if it lies dormant in your heart. You have to speak out what you say you believe. And not ever speak anything that's contrary to what you believe. Praise God. If you don't speak it, it just lies dormant in your heart, doing absolutely nothing. Praise God. But words spoken in faith. Would you want to get my phone off my desk? Words spoken in faith activate the power of God and cause those words to be realized. Negative-filled words, doubt-filled words, words that disagree with what your heart believes, like I'm weak. No, you're healed. Negate the power of God from working in your life. Praise God. Amen. You know that James 3:2 says that the person who controls his tongue can control his entire body. Think about that. If you control your tongue, you control your entire body. Glory to God. Other translation says, is able to make his whole body do that which is right. Amen. Another translation says, if we control our tongues, other translations say, if we control our tongues, we can control our whole body, our entire selves, or control everything you do or everything in your life. Put it up in the Amplified Bible for me there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your confession gives orders to your body and to your circumstances, and whether you realize it or not, your body listens to the words you speak, and so does your circumstances. So the Amplified Bible says, for we all stumble and sin in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in whatever he says, never says the wrong thing. But if you say something that disagrees with God's word, you're saying the wrong thing. He is a perfect man, fully developed in character, without serious flaws, able to bridle his whole body and rein his entire nature, taming his human faults and weaknesses. I need to overcome this habit in my life. No, you need to believe that Jesus set you free, and you need to say that I am free, regardless of the pull and tugs of your flesh. Yes. Glory to God. So here's something. I read this years ago, and I saw it recently and was reminded of it. Got to find it here. This is from Dr. Paul Youngi Cho. Who knows who Dr. Paul Youngi Cho is? You know, pastor of the church in Korea, North Korea, the free side. Largest church in the world. You know, we're not talking about 10,000, we're talking about 200,000 or something like that. And he wrote this in his book, The Fourth Dimension. He said, one morning I was eating breakfast with one of Korea's leading neurosurgeons. I mean, this man is, you know, world famous, Dr. Cho. So he's eating with one of the world's leading neurosurgeons, who was telling me about various medical findings on the operation of the brain. He asked, Dr. Cho, did you know that the speech center in the brain rules over all the nerves? You ministers really have power because according to our recent findings in neurology, the speech center in the brain has total dominion over all the nerves. Dr. Cho laughed and said, I've known this for a long time. I don't know if he said it like that, but He said, how do you know that? He said, in the world of neurology, these things are brand new. He replied, I learned it from Dr. James. He means James in the Bible. Who is this Dr. James? He said, he was one of the famous doctors in biblical time, nearly 2,000 years ago, I replied. And in his book, the book of James, chapter 3, the first few verses, James clearly defines the activity and importance of the tongue and the speech center. The neurosurgeon was completely amazed. Does the Bible really teach about this? Yes, I answered. The tongue, he says, is the least member of our body, but can bridle the whole body. It's like a ship's rudder, you know, James talks about. Here's a ship's rudder. Here's this ship that's, you know, these big giant ships that are 100 yards long, and you got this relatively small rudder, but it controls the whole ship. That's what your tongue controls your whole life. That's what James said. Praise God. Yes, I answered, the tongue is the least member of our body, but can bridle the whole body. Then this neurosurgeon began to expound their findings. He said the speech nerve center had such power over all the body that simply speaking can give one control over his body to manipulate it in the way he wishes. He said if someone keeps on saying, I'm going to become weak, then right away all the nerves receive that message and they say, let's prepare to become weak, for we've received instructions from our central communication that we should become weak. They then, in natural sequence, adjust their physical attitudes to weakness. If someone says, I have no ability, I can't do this job, then right away, all the nerves begin to... Now, this is the doctor. Then all the nerves begin to declare the same thing. Yes, they respond. We received instruction from the central nervous system saying that we have no abilities to give up striving, so they give up striving to develop any capacity for capability. We must prepare ourselves to be part of an incapable person because that's the instructions we're receiving from the brain. If someone keeps saying, I'm very old, I'm so very old, and I'm tired, and I can't do anything, then right away the speech central control responds, giving orders to that effect. Your nerves respond, yes, we're old, we're all ready for the grave. Let's be ready to disintegrate. If someone keeps saying that he's old, then pretty soon that person's going to die. The neurosurgeon continued saying that the man should never retire. Once a man retires, he keeps repeating to himself, I'm retired, and all the nerves start responding and become less active and ready for a quick death. Glory to God. Then Dr. Cho, people easily adapt to speaking in a negative way. I'm poor. I've even no money to give the Lord. When an opportunity does come for a job with a good salary, the nervous system responds, I'm not able to be rich because I haven't received that reverse instruction from my nerve center yet. I'm supposed to be poor, so I can't. No, this is the doctor. So I can't accept this job. I can't afford to have this money. Like attracts lack, and since you act as if you were a poor person, you attract poverty. This attraction, if it remains consistently, will allow you to permanently dwell in poverty. Exactly as the Bible said 2,000 years ago, it is so today. Medical science has just discovered this principle. This one neurosurgeon said that people should keep saying to themselves, I'm young, I'm able, I can do the work of a young person, no matter what my chronological age is. The nerves of that person will then come alive and receive power and strength from the nerve center. The Bible clearly says that whosoever controls the tongue controls the whole body. What you speak, you are going to get. If you keep on saying that you are poor, then all your system conditions itself to attract poverty, and you will feel at home in poverty. You would rather be poor. If you keep on saying that you are not able, if you keep on saying that you are able, then you can achieve success. Then all of your body would be bridled to success. You would be ready to meet any challenge, ready to conquer it. This is the reason you should never speak in a negative way. Before you can be changed, you must change your language. If you not change your speech, you cannot change yourself. If you want to see your children change, you must first teach them to use the proper language. If you want to see rebellious and irresponsible youth changed into responsible adults, you must teach them this new language, the language of faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, does James say, if you battle the trun, you can control your whole life, your whole body? Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Brother Hagin said this. He said, some people say, I tried confessing the word and it didn't work. No, you didn't try it. You quit it. You don't try the word like a new gadget. You take it like medicine. You believe it like covenant. You speak it till truth. You speak it like truth. You keep speaking it to your body or to your circumstances, bow. Because faith speaks until it sees results. It does not speak because it sees results, but faith speaks until it sees results. So you speak it when you don't see anything happening, when you don't see change, when your flesh is still pulling on you, when lack is staring you in the face, when your body says you're sick and you're weak and all of that stuff. You speak what the Word of God says. Now, the Lord seemed to say to me, and I'm going to close with this. Glory to God. I seem to have this impression from the Lord that He was saying to me, some people, you know, some people obviously unwittingly are saying things they should not say, even though they really do in their heart believe the Word of God. But sometimes people are not speaking negative things that contradict what they believe. They're just not saying anything at all. And the Lord said that's a mistake. That it lets the wrong thoughts or symptoms or circumstances just lie there and gain strength. You see. So it's I think somebody said it, that's losing by default. It's just not showing up. So when you have some kind of little symptom or something in your body, just don't ignore it and say, well, I know by stripes I'm healed. No, you say, I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. Amen. You know, I know the Bible says I'm healed, but you know what? I just continuously have these problems with my back. I just continually have these problems with my eyes. I just continually have these problems with my legs. I just continually say, what are you saying? You're saying Jesus did not destroy the works of the devil. You're saying Jesus did not redeem you. You're saying you're not blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You're saying that you have not been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom, and the power of darkness has lost all power and control over you. But when you say nothing, so you have a slight pull on your flesh to do something that maybe you've had that you've failed in many, many times, but it's just a slight pull, so you just ignore it. No, when you ignore it, it just sits there brick by brick by brick by brick by brick. When you ignore it, it builds a stronghold in your life, and then it becomes more difficult to deal with. No, when any time that thought comes to your mind, you immediately say, praise God, I'm free. I am. I'm not trying to get free. If you're trying to get something or you have a problem with something, then you're not free. I don't have a problem with this. I'm not trying to get free from this. I am free from this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know you're going to run short this month. No. Speak up and say, I have an overflowing, abundant supply financially. I always have more than enough. I have more than enough. I have an abundant supply. Don't just let it lie there. Speak to it. Speak to it. Resist it and say, I'm free. Say, I'm delivered. Say, I'm healed. Say, I'm protected. Say, I have more than enough. Say, I have an abundant supply. I know there's areas in my life, I've said this before, but when it comes to fear, I don't tolerate any fear thoughts. But I never ignore fear thoughts. If a thought comes to me like all of a sudden I have a vision of me driving out of my driveway and my motorcycle crashing, I just still go, well, that's goofy. No, I say, no, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives His angels charge over me to protect me, and I am delivered. I am free. Glory to God. I am protected. But I realized in my own life there's other areas that I'm well versed in the word of faith, you know, that sometimes have a little something and I just kind of ignore it. And that's what the Lord was saying to me. Tell the people that's making a mistake. Don't ignore it. Immediately, speak out your faith. Amen? Stand up with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, if you let it just sit there, the wrong thought, the symptoms, the pain, the negative circumstances, then they go stronger and they will eventually overwhelm you. I had that, again, the Lord didn't say it, but I had that impression. People get overwhelmed by some sinful habit, or overwhelmed by sickness, or overwhelmed by lack, because they did not deal with it time after time after time after time. They just sit there going, well, I believe I'm free, I believe I'm healed, I believe I'm delivered, I believe I'm strong, I believe my needs are met, but they don't actually speak out their faith and release my power, and so that thing just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Then all of a sudden they have a pull on their flesh and it overwhelms them, or the doubt overwhelms them, or the fear overwhelms them, or the depression overwhelms them. you can sense depression coming like a cloud that's 5 miles away, just getting closer and closer. When you first sense it, deal with it and demand. Speak to the mountain. Don't think to the mountain. Don't feel to the mountain. Speak to the mountain and say, I command you to go from me in the name of the Lord Jesus. Speak it and believe that what you say happens. Then it'll work for you. Praise God. Praise God. Say it out loud. Say, I'm free. I am free. I am delivered. I am healed. I am protected. I have more than enough. I have an abundant supply of finances. Jesus became poor that I might be richly supplied. And I am richly supplied. I don't have a problem in any area because Jesus set me free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise about that a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where the rubber meets the road, the make it or break it point when it comes to faith is, will you call those things that be not as though they were? It's not in the natural as though I'm healed or delivered or blessed, but I call those things that be not as though they were. So I say, I am healed. I am strong. I am free. I am delivered. I am blessed. Glory to God in the name of, because I believe it in my heart. Come on up here, Brother Terry. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I shared with y'all back earlier this year about my blood pressure. Here a couple weeks ago, I was at Walmart, and I sat down at the little blood pressure thing, and it said 121 over 57. Here a couple weeks ago, I attend a men's life group on Saturday, and we've been talking about healing for about a month, and we were discussing some things, and I was sharing them with them about my blood pressure. And then I turned right around and talked about how I can be sitting next to my wife and don't understand what she's saying. And on the way home, the Lord said, why don't you just do what you did about the blood pressure? Tell it to get, and then repent for what you said, because you just sowed life to that with your words. I don't hear. So I'm trying to train myself not to say that. Ask her what she said. I know it aggravates her a little bit, but I'm learning. Because out of your mouth flows the issues of life, is what the word says.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, your body and your entire life and the negative circumstances will line up with the words you speak in faith. Words matter. Almighty God, the creator of the universe, a scripture that you well know, but Almighty God, the creator of the universe, said, life and death are in the power of the tongue. It does not get any more serious than that. Is that true?
Yes.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Praise God. And it goes on to say that people do eat the fruit. In other words, the consequences. People experience the consequences. They eat the fruit of their words, good or bad. I don't care that a large part of the body of Christ doesn't know anything about this, and some people even make fun of it. I believe what God says. And life and death are in the power of the word. The Passion Translation says, your words are so powerful, they will kill or give life. So you ought to go back to your never again list. Remember those? There used to be a lot of never again lists. Never again will I confess weakness. Never again will I confess poverty. Never again will I confess addiction. Never again. Say, go back to that and make sure that your words never contradict what you say you believe and what you probably do really believe in your heart. And that's worth more to you than $1 million, I promise you. God bless you. God bless you. You're dismissed. I love you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.